Have your way, Father. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the few moments that we have, glory be to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We'll turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. Thank you, Lord Jesus. James chapter 1. And let's go back to verse 1. We're continuing our series on joy in the midst of trials. Joy in the midst of trials. Glory be to God. And this is such an on-time word and a word that we need to continually hear in Jesus' name. Again, joy again is the deep down sense of well-being, comfort, and security, the safety that abides in the heart of the person who knows with absolute assurance that all is well between themselves and the Lord. And that joy can be maintained even if you're being hated, ostracized, insulted, and scorned. We can continue to have immense joy. Amen. We said it begins with the mind. Is how we do that. A mind that is transformed instead of being conformed. And we must understand that between the ears is where the battle must be won. And that's done, this renewing of the mind is done, Titus 3:5, by the renewing of the Holy Spirit. It is about yielding constantly, consistently, and continually to the Holy Spirit. And so we look at James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it all joy, pure joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. Remember, encounter means not just tumble into, but it's like you falling into a pool of water. If you fell into a swimming pool, you have completely encountered water. It completely surrounds you. You are engulfed with water. That's what this word means. It means to be completely surrounded. And he says, account it all joy, not partial joy, but pure joy. Not some joy and much grief, but pure, unmixed, complete, sheer, total joy. And we said earlier that the only way you can step into that is that you must have a settled conviction, a settled, definitive, decisive conviction to walk into that joy. It is a matter of will, not feelings, because you'll never feel like being joyful when your life is coming apart or when you are under attack, especially personally. When you're under personal attack, whether it's verbally or physically, you can't just go by your feelings because you won't ever feel like having joy. But thank God that God has commanded it and we have the ability to carry it out. Amen?
Amen.
We also remember, we're reminded to look at these testings and trials as a means of privileges. It's a privilege, not a liability. It's a privilege that will ultimately benefit us, that will ultimately benefit the Christian who's going through these trials, no matter how harmful or how destructive they may be or how painful, they, in the end, are beneficial. And that's good news. So having said that, let's go back. Let's look at verse 3 again. Verse 3, he said, you can count it all joy. Here's the reason why, verse 3. Knowing, the Greek word is ginosko, G-I-N-O-S-K-O, means to know in the sense of realizing or to know and understand through experience, because you've experienced this. Knowing that the testing of your again this yesterday. All, and I've told you all many a times, Word of Life, yes, there's a lot going on out there, but you can best believe God has carefully designed this time to test our faith and ultimately for our benefit. How we look at this depends on how strong your faith is. Because you could be moaning every day, woe is me, wow, the pandemic's still going on. I mean, there's ethnic unrest, and there's all these things here, and I didn't, the president who I wanted didn't get picked, and I'm just mad, and you know, and we're just mad, and we're complaining, and not realizing that our faith is being tested. That is what we need to know. He said, knowing this, knowing what? What is it that we need to know? That our faith is being tested. And that the testing of your faith, look at verse 3 again, will lead to perseverance and endurance. That's good news. How many want to have perseverance? How many want to have endurance? I know I do. Two hands up and a foot. Yeah, I need it because this is a marathon. And if you need any attributes or characteristics in a marathon, running a marathon, it is perseverance and endurance. This life we're running, this race we're running in life, spiritual walk with the Lord, is a marathon. It's not a sprint. So thank God that He has a way of getting us perseverance and endurance to run with patience the race that's been set before us. The word test is dokimon, D-O-K-I-M-O-N, dokimon, which means to prove, to try, to appraise, to evaluate. To prove, to try, to appraise, and to evaluate. This testing is done by the Lord for what reason? To determine if our faith is real and genuine and true and trustworthy. We can assume it. By the way, this testing is not for God's knowledge. He knows exactly where our faith is. What good is that if you don't know where your faith is? If you don't know when trials hit, troubles hit, persecutions hit, sufferings hit, temptations hit, sexual, mental, whatever it is. If you don't, what good is it if you don't know where your faith is? This is, the testing is so that we will know that our faith is really what it is. We need to know that God has a purpose when testing our faith. And that purpose is to make us strong. Not only strong, but stronger. So that we can have staying power. Because 5 seconds into the trial, we want it to be over. Staying power. You know, go back, look at verse 2. When James says in verse 2, count it all joy, James is not saying that the trials and tests and testings and suffering and so forth in themselves are joyful. He's not saying that. He is saying that these trials, these tests, are a means to joy or to an end, with the end being spiritual growth, spiritual maturity, perseverance, endurance. And in that you rejoice. Does that make sense? Not in the trial itself, but what the trial is going to produce. Simple question. How many want to be more mature spiritually?
Amen.
How many want to persevere? How many want to know that whatever trial God has for me, I will come out on the other side victorious. I want to know that. I don't want to be wondering. Well, this is how. You don't have to know in theory whether or not your faith is good. You don't have to know in theory whether or not I can make it. Yeah. Maybe I can, maybe I can't. I don't know. I want absolute growth maturity. And when he says this, that, and again, I want to say it again, it's not that the trials are joyful in themselves. You follow that? You don't rejoice in it because it's painful. It's hurtful. But know that what the trials are designed by God to produce. And every trial is a designer trial. If you have designer clothes or designer this, it's a designer trial designed by God specifically to produce in you, specifically, personally, spiritual growth and spiritual maturity. I want to keep growing. I want to say to me that I have to be taught again, as in Hebrews. I think it's Hebrews or maybe 1 Corinthians 3, one of them. Have me taught again when I should be a teacher by now. Just not having got it. He said, you're needing still to be taught. When by now you ought to be a teacher. You ought to be mature enough and understand the word of God enough and have grown enough that you can teach someone else. And so we want to grow. We want to grow. And this is where verses 3 and 4 come in. Again, look at verse 3 again. Knowing this, that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result. We get into that. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. Wow. That's a tremendous benefit. Do we really believe that God can cause a trial and design a trial specifically for my life that will produce perfection, meaning spiritual maturity, being complete, lacking in nothing? In other words, when he's talking about lacking nothing, he's not talking about being perfect in a sense, but lacking in nothing spiritual. Whatever you need, God has. Whatever you need, God has. And so we're lacking in nothing. It's crucial that we understand that trials have a purpose, a godly, God-ordained, God-designed purpose. We talked about it earlier when it says consider. Consider means to look forward, not get stuck in the moment. To look forward. There's an end. And so we'll read this one and we'll close. Look at Hebrews chapter 12. He said, let endurance have its complete work, right? Perfect result. So that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. It's the same thought in Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, same thought. And we'll stop here. I just want to give you a little food for thought behind the beautiful worship of the Lord. Verse 12, Hebrews chapter 12, rather. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful, but sorrowful. Yet to those who have been trained by it, the discipline, afterwards it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. So the discipline takes place. When it's happening, it is not a joyous situation. But after the disciplining has finished, it yields, or this, it produces this fruit, peaceable fruit of righteousness. And the discipline referred to here in this verse is a means to an end. What was the end? What was the means of the end, rather? What was done, rather, that was to produce something? And that was the discipline. So I kind of got jacked it up. The discipline had a purpose. Now, God wants us to experience the peaceful fruit of righteousness, and the means that he used to get that to us was through discipline. And so the discipline produced exactly what God wanted to produce in our life, and that is the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Righteousness is doing and being right according to God's way, doing things God's way. That's a real simplistic definition, but nonetheless it's true. Righteousness is doing and being right according to God's way, his will, and his purpose. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his way, his will, his purpose, and all these things will be added. So that's a peaceable fruit. When we do things God's way, when we persevere the way God wants us to persevere. And so that's a means to an end. Remember, trials are a means to an end. The trial is the means, and to the end being God's purpose, which is spiritual growth and maturity and perseverance and endurance. Now, those don't sound well to the mature Christian. It sounds great. It sounds like a Cadillac and a $1 million house and a ton of money. And, you know, those sound great to our flesh. But staying power, perseverance, stick-to-itiveness, don't quitness, that's not a word, but it is tonight. Don't quitness, that's what I want. And thank God trials produce that, that we aren't just suffering for suffering's sake. That's good news. That's what the sinner is. See, the sinner, look, man born of a woman, days are few and full of sorrow, book Job. Should the sparks fly upward, so the man will have trouble. So we all will have trouble, the saint and the sinner alike. Remember, there's only two groups. But thank God for the saint, that all of our suffering has purpose. Whereas a sinner, he's just suffering. He or she is just suffering. But for the saint, all are suffering. Remember, he works all things according to those who love God. All things work together for good. So all of your suffering, all of it being worked together for our good. That's good news. That family member that's getting on your nerves, your health is getting on your nerves, the boss is getting on your nerves, you that's getting on your nerves, it's all working for good. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Father God, thank you for your word. Yes, it is truly a lamp to our feet. It is a light on our path. It guides us. It directs us, shows us the way to go. We can see it clearly. As the old song says, I can see clearly now the rain is gone. We see clearly. The entrance of your word gives revelation and understanding, even to the inexperienced. It makes us wiser than those who are even older than us. Oh, how we love your law. It is our meditation all the day. It is our counselor. The word counselor.